Jobeth from Gracia. This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 1st of May, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Early Tuesday morning on the 28th, police and state security agents raided the homes of prominent civil society members and members linked to foundations that financially support pro-European protesters who've been fined, jailed, or fired for their activism. Among them was TV producer and public figure Nanuka Giorgioliani, whose namesake foundation has been aiding people in need long before the protests. She said that state security agents led the raids and directed police during searches, which resulted in the seizure of documents, electronics, and storage devices. All the foundations had already been shut down months earlier by court order. Prosecutors say that the raids are part of the same investigation which alleges the funds were used to undermine Georgia's constitutional order and national security. In related news, on Wednesday the 30th, David Jinjaradze, activist and member of the civil movement organization Freedom Square, posted on Facebook that he created a new fund to financially help out people fined during pro-European protests. He said that unlike local funds whose accounts have been frozen by court order, this new account has been registered in one of the English banks and will be safe from being shut down. He also said that it is important to have several kinds of funds where Georgians in and outside of the country will be able to donate. On the topic of banks, the European People's Party, or EPP, is calling for Kartu Bank, owned by Bidzina Ivanishvili, to be disconnected from the SWIFT and Visa MasterCard systems. This proposal was mentioned by the European Parliament's new resolution on Georgia, where EPP calls EU member states and partners to impose coordinated personal sanctions on Ivanishvili, his family, companies, and associates, and to freeze his assets within the EU. On the topic of Ivanishvili, Bloomberg has removed him from its list of the world's 500 richest people after lowering its estimate of his wealth from $6.8 billion to $3.6 billion, which falls short of the $6.3 billion needed to stay in the ranking. Currently, there are no other Georgians on the list, as the only other possible contender, Mikhail Lomtadze, CEO and co-owner of a Kazakh tech company, dropped out of the list in November of last year when his company's stocks plummeted amid accusations of misleading investors. Next up, 10 independent workers' unions and civic groups are holding a march on Thursday the 1st, which is International Workers' Day. They're protesting against unjust social policies and the firing of public sector workers due to their political views. Organizers say 800 public servants have been dismissed for expressing pro-European views after the government froze EU accession talks until 2028. They also say that reorganization is planned at the Ministry of Education because more people are expected to be laid off. March will be at Kolmogorova Square, symbolic for being the site of Georgia's first workers' march. It will move towards the government building and then join the ongoing demonstrations on Rustaveli Avenue, which have been active for over 150 days. Very smart to hold this demonstration to point out how the Kotsevi have politicized the civil service, even at the lowest levels, because this always comes back and bites workers. Meanwhile, Irakli Kharabashvili, once the official leader of the Georgian Dream, or Kotsevi, who has twice served as prime minister, also held the position of minister of defense and chair of the party, has officially retired from politics. He made the announcement on Friday the 25th during a briefing at the Kotsevi's office. There have been much speculation about Kharabashvili, rumors about his conflict with current party leadership, fueled by his long absence from public life and failure to comment on ongoing events. In his farewell speech, he stated that he had achieved all his goals and no longer saw a need to remain in politics. He also denied rumors that he planned to create his own political party, saying he sees his future in, you guessed it, Chester, the private sector. On another note, a new survey shows Georgians are expecting a financial crisis. Marketing company ACTR conducted a survey in March over the phone with 800 people over 18 years old participating. Results show 56% expect a financial crisis within 6 months, 36% already feel financially worse off, nearly half struggle to afford basic groceries, and 55% report difficulties buying medicine or accessing healthcare. 44% blame the government for worsening living conditions, 29% take personal responsibility. Response, many plan to cut non-essential spending, 30% on travel and leisure, 29% on entertainment. Despite a pessimistic outlook, 68% still plan to spend on health and self-care, 40% consider education a worthwhile investment. Only 16% are open to financial investments. Want to know more about the survey's results? Link in the show notes. Shifting gears, NATO's 2024 annual report makes no mention of support for Georgia or Ukraine joining the alliance. That's a sharp contrast to 2023's report, which called Georgia a close partner and backed its reform efforts and Euro-Atlantic ambitions. For many Georgians who view NATO as the only real shield against Russian aggression, the silence is disappointing. But the ruling party isn't likely to mind. While Georgia officially aims to join NATO, the Kotsevi have downplayed that goal for years, even before Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, focusing their foreign policy on the EU instead. That was all, of course, before they decided to pivot to Russia, away from the EU. Talking about Georgia's pivot to Russia, on Saturday the 26th, TV channel Formula reported that Russian oligarch Vladimir Yakunin, a close ally of Vladimir Putin and former head of Russian railways, visited Syrnakhi, tourist town in the eastern region of Kakheti. He celebrated his son's Andrei's birthday there with over 200 guests in attendance. Both father and son face international sanctions, likely one of the reasons they chose Georgia for the event. The U.S. and Australia sanctioned Vladimir in 2014 after Russia seized Crimea. Norwegian authorities arrested Andrei in 2022 for flying drones over Svalbard, violating Norway's airspace ban on Russian nationals introduced after the invasion of Ukraine. A massive fire broke out in the Tbilisi Vokzal Bazaar on Wednesday the 30th, prompting the evacuation of nearby hospitals. Fortunately, no injuries were reported. However, dozens of shops and the warehouses storing their goods were destroyed. Unfortunately, fire began at 6 a.m. and quickly spread across 15,000 square meters. While the exact amount of the material damage remains unknown, it is expected to be significant. Revenue Services announced that the destroyed goods will not be taxed in order to provide some financial relief to affected shop owners. In other news, according to Georgia's National Statistics Office, almost 1 million international travelers came to the country during the first quarter of 2025, making an 1% increase compared to the same period last year. The majority, about 20%, came from Russia, with over 187,000, followed by Turkey and Armenia. Leisure, entertainment, and recreation were the main purposes of travel, making over 42% of all visits. Tbilisi in the western region of Ajada, which is a tourist hub, were the most visited areas. To wrap up this edition, crypto mining is booming in Georgia this year thanks to a surge in Bitcoin prices. In just 3 months of 2025, mining companies used more electricity than the entire steel industry and even than Georgian railways. Their power uses jumped more than 7 times compared to last year. Most mining operations are based in special industrial zones in Tbilisi and Kutaisi, western Georgia, where, frustratingly, they get electricity without paying VAT, making it cheaper to run these energy-hungry server machines. Together, miners used 187 million kilowatt-hours in the first quarter alone. Trend started picking up again last year when Georgia imported a record $115 million worth of server equipment, nearly 4 times more than the 5-year average. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. If you want to share the episode, you can download any of them as an MP3 from our website at rorschach.com/Georgia. Link in the show notes. Nachondis.